start with QC members, just to ensure that we have a quorum. Then we'll go to board staff, applicants, and then supervisor licensees, and any other individuals that are in the building or on the call that would please like to identify themselves. So with that, my name is Megan Kurz. I am here and present. I think I heard Nick Van Reet.
Yes.
And Stuart Morris, board liaison.
Yes.
Perfect. Other committee members?
Tanya Moffitt.
Good morning, Tanya.
Good morning.
Casey Kimmer.
Good morning, Casey.
Michael Smith.
Norm.
Yep.
Norm Rush.
Good morning, Norm.
Zane Selbach.
Hi, Zane.
Yvette Burnley.
Hey, Yvette. Okay. Any other committee members on the line? Okay. From there, board staff, Julie and Stacy, are you guys both present?
Yes.
Yes, thank you.
Great, thank you. Anyone else from the board?
No, and our room is empty besides the two of us, so
yep.
Okay, great. Thanks for the confirmation. Okay.
Hi, Tanya. Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
So I'm
one
of, good. So I'm one of the applicants.
Perfect. What is your name, sir?
Hayan. H-A-Y-Y-A-N.
Great. Good morning, Hayan. Thank you for joining us. Do we have other applicants on the line?
Yeah, good morning. This is Mohan Shetty here. I'm the third applicant in the list.
Great. Good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, good morning. This is Matthew Ogata.
Good morning, Matthew.
Hi, good morning. This is Will William Arick. I'm the first applicant on the list. And I'm with my supervisor, Patty Snapkowski.
Okay, good morning, Patty. Are there other...
My name is Kathleen Miller. I am the supervisor for Matthew Ogata.
Good morning.
This is David Maliza. I'm supervisor for Mohan Shetty.
Okay. Any other individuals on the line that have not had a chance to identify themselves? Okay. Well, with that, our next order of business includes a review and approval of the agenda for the meeting. To the committee, if there are no changes or adjustments, I'd entertain a motion to approve.
I motion to approve the agenda as presented. This is Tanya Moffitt.
Thanks, Tanya.
This is Casey, I'll second.
Great, thanks, Casey. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, the motion passes. Thank you. Okay, the next item on our agenda is our report of board action. Mr. Morris, would you be able to give us a quick update on the last board meeting?
Very quick update. We approved all of the applicants that you had sent forward. They're all now in good standing. I do want to bring out one thing that came out from the last NASBA meeting that I think is important to start getting on the agenda. There's a move underfoot to license non-CPAs as CPAs. These are support people to CPA firms, and they're trying to figure out a way they can, on a fast track, bring these people in and license them. Something we need to be aware of. It's a little, but I consider a little on the crazy side because it's way outside the normal realm. This committee, unfortunately, will probably get a lot of involvement in it, so I think you need to be aware this is something they're looking at.
Okay.
So if you take an engineer, for example, or a statistician, and somehow make them a CPA. So, there's more to come on that, but that's, I thought I'd give you a heads up.
Thank you. Stuart, can you give indication of any kind of timeline or rollout phases from state?
They're looking at a fast track. That's the only information we got. That's scary. When you fast track that kind of thing, that's when problems become problems. So I think we need to be at least aware of what's going on before it hits us. That's why I'm bringing it forward.
Okay. And then may I just ask one other quick question? Was there any discussion about having, you know, maybe a sub-licensure path similar to like an LTP, like a license tax preparer in a support role that isn't kind of the full-fledged CPA license?
That was not discussed.
Do you know what kind of involvement boards and you know states will have in that process? Is there going to be a public comment period or any kind of involvement there?
Well, if it comes forward of doing that, yes, there will be quite a bit of involvement at that time. But there was nothing mentioned from the last NASBA meeting or from our group, so I don't see that happening right away.
Okay, thank you.
We have a second level of licensure already in the state. That's the PA license.
The PA, that's right.
Megan, may I ask a question real quick?
Please, yes.
Stuart, is this, I mean, do these individuals still have to sit for the exam?
Well, that's the question. What kind of an exam do you give them?
Right.
There's a lot of unanswered questions at this time, and I'm not quite certain why the appealers an urgency to do this. My feeling is, from what I got from the conversation, these are support people doing analytical work, which is fine. You hire them. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to make them CPA just because they're working in the same office. You hire them to do specific projects, and that then gets turned over to the licensed CPA to present.
But
I'll be looking, hopefully, at the next NASBA meeting to find out what's coming on, or maybe one of their newsletters will give us more information. But at this time, that's all the information we have.
Okay.
Yeah, I would love to see more information if you get some.
Yeah, well, as soon as I see anything, I'll bring it forward.
This is Tanya Moffitt. I'm going to add just a little bit of background on this. It's called The Evolution of CPA. So if anybody's interested, you can go to evolutionofcpa.org. There was a comment period open until August 9th. We will see some additional information on this. It's really more so towards, like, IT professionals, so people that we are using to maybe do some of the audit work on our team. They're trying to figure out a way to make them a CPA. There's a strong opposition from like the Oregon Society of CPAs and other organizations, also the board. Those IT professionals already have another licensure that they can use, and so what they currently are looking at is two different paths for the CPA exam, and so there would be like two parts that both applicants would do, and then potentially two other parts that would, one would be more the accounting path and one would be these other licensures. So just keep your eyes out if you get anything from the AICPA. There's been a big push for this over the last couple of years from the larger firms, so that's part of where it's coming from. So again, that's evolutionofcpa.org.
Thank you, Tanya.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay. Stuart, thank you for the report on the board action. Anything else? Okay, perfect. So with that, we will move into our pending applications. I know that Matthew Ogata and Michael Smoot are both on the line. And due to some time constraints, that we'd like to accelerate that application to the first for review this morning. So with that, Michael.
Perfect. Thank you. And thank you for letting me go first. the time constraint is on me, so not on Matthew. So thank you. So Matthew Agata has been employed at Cascade International Foods since June of 2017 under the supervision of Kathleen Miller, who sounds like also was able to join the call today. He's worked in their accounting department since graduating from OSU, served in roles such as accounts receivable, accounts payable, cost accounting, doing journal entries, month-end close, and financial statement drafting. So Matthew and I worked back and forth a little bit, and you know, overall the first draft of the application was pretty good. A couple tweaks here and there to most of the competencies. It was really kind of B and E that we went into a little bit more detail. Just wanted to see a little bit more clarification with respect to, you know, exactly what his role was and you know, specific examples or specific items within those examples that he could really tie to the competencies. You know, so Matthew did a great job of taking that feedback and getting all of that information baked into his application. I feel that the revised narrative that he provided seemed to be sufficient and hit on all the competencies that I wanted to see demonstrated within his application. And at this time, I'd love to open it up to anyone else on the committee that has any specific feedback or has any questions of Matthew at this time.
I'll jump in. Go ahead.
One, sir.
Go ahead, Casey.
Okay, so I just have some comments. Like, I thought competency A was good, competency B I thought was really strong, so the edits that you did there were, Matthew, that you did there were really good. I just felt like it was a little slim, like there was a lot more detail that could be included. For instance, on competency C, like, the verbiage itself didn't seem very work paper specific. In D, I felt like it needed more discussion of systems, substantive testing of internal control, so analytics, technical research, conclusion, and then transaction streams, and then the understanding of the aggregate to the general ledger and to the organizational level. I also felt like E was really testing, not really risk assessment. And then on F, I felt like even there it needed more examples, more detail. I just didn't get a lot of context, I guess texture maybe. I didn't feel like it was detailed enough. But that was my take.
Yeah, Megan, this is Norm.
Yeah,
a couple comments for me. Yeah, for the most part, I agree with what Casey just said, and I have a couple things to add. I felt on competency A, there could be more examples provided of objectivity and professional judgment. On competency B, Matthew did a great job of describing how regulatory funds rate and trucking rates and things like that affect his company, but he didn't really, in my mind, indicate how he assesses, you know, assesses those and determines their impact on a company. It was more like, I felt like it was a good description of a company, but not necessarily Matthew's engagement in that. And then on competency E, I felt like there was in his example of assessing the risk of inventory being misstated, I felt like it was a bit of a conflicting statement in paragraph 3, where he says to prove existence of inventory, he gets a monthly inventory report from the storage facilities, but then in his last sentence, he states that it sounds like they can't really trust that because a lot of times it's wrong and that's all they have to go on. So
it didn't really seem like a compelling argument to me. So that was, those were my things to add to what Casey just said.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anyone else on the call have anything else they saw?
This is Tanya. I felt like some of the areas were a little bit light, but I also felt like when I combined all of them together, I felt like I could get there on most of them. Does that make sense? Like, the, like maybe like on competency F, there was some additional information in E that was helpful to like get me there. So I was kind of able to use the whole document to get there on some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then in summary, it sounds like Norm had some follow-ups on competencies A, B, and E, and then Casey, do you mind restating which competencies in particular that you wanted to see additional color on?
Sure, C, D, E, and F.
Okay, Michael, Matthew, and or Kathleen, do you guys have any questions or additional comments or?
This is Kathleen. So I'm just understanding that he needs to just put more examples into his competencies and explain what we do a little bit more detailed.
This is Casey. Just to kind of answer on my side, yes. I mean, what I would like to see are very specific, just like kind of how, with the exception of what Stuart said, with competency B, it's laid out very clearly. It would be nice if it was laid out like that for every question. So, and also giving very explicit examples of what exactly he did that is filling that competency. And then for like competency D, there was kind of a lot in the requirement that I didn't feel like was addressed. So that was substantive testing and internal control, transaction streams, aggregation of information to the organizational level. And then for me, for competency E, I felt like that was one risk, and then he talked a lot about testing that risk. But what the competency is really getting at is risk assessment as a whole. Like, so it's not about identifying a risk and then addressing it, but more about addressing all, you know, the organizational risks in a bigger environment. So that's kind of where I was going with that competency. So I hope that clarifies a little bit from my standpoint.
We're a really small company, and so, it's hard because we're family owned and very small, so it's difficult to put it all into words. But we'll work on it and see what we can come up with.
Any other comments or questions on the application?
This is Michael. Hey, Casey, could you clarify on competency F? That's the one I didn't get very good notes on, and I just wanted to make sure I had kind of exactly what you were thinking on that one.
I would have to go back through. I mean, just looking at it real quick. I mean, it's like
just more
paragraph. I mean, it's so bare bones.
Yeah.
I don't even know how you can address the competency in that few words.
Perfect. Thank you.
This is Dane. I would occur on that one, being very light. And then maybe another just comment for reference. And you talked a lot about risk assessment. And given you're a small company, there are some resources you may just check out on the AICPA website around risk assessment to help you maybe look at some of the considerations on how to do a more holistic risk assessment, even on a small company. So I would just maybe encourage you to take a look at the risk assessment resources page on the AICPA website might point in the right direction for that competency.
Great, thank you.
Any other comments or questions? Michael.
Perfect. So I move to defer the application for Matthew Ogata pending additional documentation of competencies A, B, C, D, E, and F.
Are we hearing
Casey? Okay.
Thanks, Casey. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, the motion passes. Matthew and Kathleen, Michael will connect with you following the call to just talk through, comments moving forward that can be addressed prior to the November 20th meeting.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you.
Yeah,
and one thing, just a reminder, I don't know if we mentioned it at the beginning, but this is recorded, so we'll also be able to listen back to kind of specific, if, depending on how good the notes were taken, but we'll be able to go back and listen to that piece as well.
And
okay.
Matthew, I'll send you a link to the recording on our website, so you'll be able to find it easily.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Okay, the next application on the list is for William Auric. Casey?
Yes, thank you. So I reviewed Mr. Auric's application, and he worked at Oregon State University's Office of Audit Risk and Compliance as a staff auditor under the direct supervision of Ms. Smith-Kowski, and has been with Oregon State since June of 18. His position requires that he perform a variety of internal audit engagements at Oregon State campuses and Extension campuses as well. So when I first received his application, I was actually quite pleased and thought that he did a great job of substantiating his competencies. I provided a few suggestions on competencies A, B, E, and F. For A, I suggested that he change focus. He did focus on a different ethics area, so I kind of steered it back, which I, it's just a context change. On D, I suggested he enhance discussion of the accounting system. E suggested more detail on obtaining sufficient relevant data based on the risk assessment and determining the appropriateness of underlying data, just in terms of the assertion. And then on F, just getting a little bit more detailed specific to what the competency requires. So I asked him to provide more information on the evaluation of service delivery, liquidity, operating cycle, systems reliability, and potential achievement of management plans. I think his application to begin with was really in good shape, and I feel like he really hit all the requirements. And then after his edit, I think he really did a great job. So I do plan to recommend his application for approval, and I'll open it up for any comments or questions from the committee.
Thanks, Casey.
This is Tanya. I would agree that the application was really well written. I felt like it had all the competencies.
Megan, this is Norm. I just wanted to say since William and I both work for Oregon State University, even though we've never met or ever worked together, I should excuse myself from this discussion on this candidate and the voting on this candidate, just to avoid any appearance of conflict.
Perfect. Well, thank you for the heads up on that. I think that's a prudent decision. Thank you.
Okay. Any more comments or questions?
This is Zane. I would concur. I felt like it was well written. I was able to get there on all the competencies. So appreciate a well written narrative.
Okay.
So I move to find that there is sufficient evidence to make a preliminary finding that William Orrick has demonstrated the competencies necessary for initial licensing per OAR 801-010-0065.
Suzanne, I'll second the motion.
Great. Thanks, Casey. So the motion on the floor is approval of the application to submit to the board for initial licensure. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Then abstentions?
Yeah, I guess I'm abstention, Megan. This is Nora.
Perfect. All right. And the motion passes. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for your approval.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we're definitely moving through the list in a timely fashion. I think that's a testament to the amount of work that goes into the review of the applications and work with the applicants and the supervisors on behalf of the committee members. So thank you to each of you that had reviewing candidates this cycle. It really helps things be very efficient when we get to the call. So with that, we'll move on to our third applicant, Tanya.
Hi. So I did Hayan's review, and you know, I felt like it was very well written. There were a few areas where I felt like it could be improved a little bit, and specifically that was in competency B, F, and G. And so he went back and revised the narrative per our discussion, and I feel like he got there on all the competencies with the revised narrative. I don't know if anybody has any specific questions about specific competencies or anything like that, and the applicant is on the phone as well.
So I did have some comments. This is Casey. Hold on up real quick. I felt like on E, I still have an issue, I guess, on E and F. On E, this is the accelerated vesting example, right? I feel like this, is discussion of, like, one risk, but not necessarily risk assessment. So I don't, that's...
And see, I would say that he talked about the overall risk assessment of the entity, and then he gave one specific example. But I felt like it was really well written. But that was just my take on it.
You know what, Tanya? I'm so sorry. I'm looking at someone else's. I'm so sorry. Sorry.
That's okay. I was a little bit confused.
I'm sorry. No, I know. I shouldn't be confused. I apologize, you guys. Yeah. Sorry.
No problem. Thanks, Casey. Yeah, I agree. I think this is probably one of the better competency E's that I've seen. I think the candidate did a nice job of articulating that sort of overall global view of risk assessment and then drilling down into some very specific cycles and processes to give additional context on what that looks like. So, yeah, did a nice job.
Yeah. I think that when I look at this again, I think the only issue I had was competency A could be a little bit better. There could be a few more examples, but I still overall think I got there on this application.
Yeah, this is Norm, Megan. I felt overall it was a very well written application.
Any other comments or questions on the applicant?
Okay, then with that, I move to find that there is sufficient evidence to make a preliminary finding that Hayan I don't know how to pronounce his last name, has demonstrated the competencies necessary for initial licensure for OAR801-010-0065.
This is Casey, I'll second.
Thanks, Tanya and Casey. So the motion on the floor is to approve the application to send forth to the board. All those in favor? Aye.
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 Thank you. Any opposed? Great. Any abstentions? Okay, the motion passes.
Thank you. Thank you for approving.
Congratulations. Okay, and with that, we'll move on to our fourth applicant, Mohan Shetty. Yvette, I believe this is your application.
Yes, it is. Thank you. So, Mohan is a manager of technical accounting at Transocean in Houston, Texas. He's also a chartered accountant in India, or from India. So he's gone through that licensure experience, just as a FYI. He has been at Transocean since 2006, and in his current role with the supervision of David Melissa, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, since October of 2017. When I first got his application, it was, I would say, a bit light and maybe high level in his narrative, but he has gone back and added more details in all of the competencies. I asked him to focus specifically on, what kind of research he was doing, what kind of steps were taken in the processes he was looking at, conclusions, and then results or further steps taken from there. And I believe that, looking through his revision, that he has done that in each of his competencies. He's looked at, some of the items that he highlighted are accounting for convertible debt, impairment testing, total shareholder return, special termination benefits paid to employees, lease accounting, and the new accounting standard and control. So I think that his application hits all of the items that we're looking for. Anyone have any comments or questions?
So this is Casey. So this is the one that I was referring to earlier. I do apologize. But on competency E, it talks about this accelerated vesting. But it's of one risk. So to me, again, it doesn't get to actually risk assessment. So I have a hard time getting there on that one. And then on competency F, there's no real talk of the technical research, and there are very few examples. So I felt like that area could definitely be tightened up as well.
Okay, so if you have questions on E and F, other questions from the committee?
I thought competency A was a little bit light on external sources, but maybe that was just me. I also had some concerns specifically on competency F. On competency E, I felt like with C and D, I felt more comfortable with it if you kind of combined those. But that was just my take. I felt like I could get to E with the combination of C and D. It was F and A that I had a little bit of a struggle with.
I have a question on the time period of the examples. It looks like the applicant has been with the organization since 2006, but then is taking credit for qualified experience just from October of 2017 through the present date. I just want to confirm that all examples used within the write-up are from that period of qualified supervision extending from October of 2017 through July of 2019.
Yes, this is Mohan Shetty here. And all the experience that I have included in this write-up relates to period after October 2017, when I was working under the supervision of David Malaise.
Great. Thank you so much.
I confirm that, and he has also worked for another certified licensed accountant at Transocean, but she's no longer with the organization, and that's why he focused on the material that I supervise.
Thank you for that context.
Megan, this is Norm. The only one I had notes on this application were, and I think Casey mentioned this, is I felt like competency A, again, was a little light on specific examples. I think Casey or Tanya mentioned earlier as well.
Perfect. Thank you, Norm. So it sounds like we've got, as kind of a broader group, questions on competencies A and F and E. Any other notes from the committee for Yvette as she brings forward her motion?
Okay. Sounds like we will be deferring. I move to defer the application for Mohan Shetty pending additional documentation for competencies A, B as in Edward, F as in Frank, for additional examples in detail.
Thank you, Yvette. Do we have a second?
This is Casey. I'll second.
Thanks, Casey. So the motion on the floor is to defer the application for Mohan Shetty pending additional documentation for competencies A, E, and F. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, any abstentions? Okay, the motion passes. Thank you. So that's the, we've reached the end of our current applications, and for this meeting we had no deferred applications, so we'll move on to new business, which is agenda item number 5 on the agenda that Stacy circulated for the team. So we've had this item, bullet point 5A, on the agenda for a couple of time periods, and I think it's one of those items, you know, discussion on how to increase supervisor participation in the licensure process that we've been discussing for, you know, several years, at least the 4 years I know of that I've been on the committee, and I think one of the things that we want to continue to do is continuously improve the messaging and how we're getting out to those supervisor licensees. It's very difficult when we have, the ability for applicants from all over the world to be able to participate in the program. So it isn't as easy as just, you know, sending out a memo to all active CPAs or something of that nature. And so, you know, I think it's one of those things that, you know, you each as committee members do a very, very nice job of getting the applications, conducting the first screening, interviewing the applicants, circling back with the supervisors, and really helping hit those concepts home. I think we're just trying to entertain any ideas possible to help facilitate that process so that when we get the application, that the first pass they're in, you know, the best shape possible. So with that, I guess I'd open it up to the committee on ideas for discussion. I think the other thing that might be helpful for us to consider is at our November meeting, the 20th of November, which is in person in Salem, perhaps what we do is ask, you know, our liaisons at the staff, at the board to kind of pull together a synopsis and or a packet of the existing information that's available to supervisor licensees, and we could review that and see if we have any suggestions, you know, at that point. But any other thoughts from the team on what we can do in this arena?
Casey, you know, what I usually do is when I have suggestions, A, you know, in responding to the applicant, I make sure that the supervisor's copied. But I usually, and I think a lot of us are very explicit about, you need to work with your supervisor to get this thing up to par. And so that's a little thing that, you know, I started doing a few years ago that has helped quite a bit. And I don't know if we all do that, but just as us reviewing the applications, if we're reinforcing the fact that they need to be working directly with their supervisor, that seems to help quite a bit on that side. But,
yeah. Thank you.
Hey, Megan, out of curiosity, are there any example narratives available to applicants and their supervisors to at least demonstrate the expected level of detail required? Because it seems like one of the biggest differences or reasons the committee moves to defer applications is just requiring additional detail and examples.
Thanks, Zane. That's a really good question, and I'll put in sort of my understanding of the process and then ask Julie to jump in and supplement. You know, this process has evolved over the last several years, probably the last, you know, 6 to 8 years, where historically the supervisor was the individual that was preparing and writing the narrative, and it was really in that, from that standpoint of, you know, hey, I supervised this applicant, and they demonstrated to me that they've met these competencies because they did X, Y, and Z. So it was really in that kind of third person, you know, format. What we then moved towards as a committee was saying, let's put the shoe on the other foot and have the applicants themselves really demonstrate and write so that kind of shines through to us and we can really get a good sense for whether this applicant kind of, you know, for lack of a better term, kind of knows what they're talking about, right? And I think then what we've maybe forfeited as part of that approach is really having that front-end supervisor involvement, potentially. I really like Casey's recommendation of, you know, pushing it back to the applicant and saying, hey, work with your supervisor. And I'm wondering if there are ways sort of earlier in the process, kind of on the front end as they even approach thinking about their licensure, to get the word out to them what that level of expectation is. And, you know, Zane, to your point, I believe that historically there have been example narratives provided. However, what we found was maybe a slight bit of plagiarism, if that's fair to say, Julie.
Right.
And so I think there's a balance there. Now, I do believe that all papers that have been submitted and approved are available via public record, but I guess, Julie, I'd let you jump in here.
I won't speak to what's available through the public record process. That's not my wheelhouse, so I don't want to put that out there necessarily to, you know, have this flood of people wanting copies of everyone's narratives, but so I really truly don't know what would be available and what would not be, but it is important for us as staff and for you as reviewers and as a committee as a whole to stress the fact that, especially in industry, that every experience is different. So, you know, we tell people in firms all the time, even two people working on the same projects will take away different experiences. They'll have, you know, they'll have a completely different narrative, even if they're working side by side for a year. So in industry, that just becomes even more important that, you know, they need to detail their experiences and their understanding. They're demonstrating to the board their knowledge of these competencies, not somebody else's knowledge, right? So not just the plagiarism aspect, but, you know, I mean, it really seems unlikely that two people in very different industries will have anything similar in, you know, in experience. Is that fair enough?
Yeah,
that makes sense. I mean, certainly understand the challenges of example narratives as you're describing them. Just, and maybe this is more of just a question of how do you set the expectation as well for not only the applicant but the supervisor on what's the required level of detail that should go into the narrative, because that seems to be a trend.
It's true, and I will say that we are working on developing some language to go out on the website that gives, and it, not just for QC applicants, but across the board, gives all applicants an idea of the level of detail that we're expecting. So that, because we see a lot of this in the board office too, with the firm applicants. So it's not just the QC that's experiencing this. So we are trying to develop some language. We have to be careful. It'll go through our legal counsel, I'm sure, before it's all done. That we're not, you know, offering suggestions about what to write. We're not, you know, guiding. You know, we've had these discussions with the QC before, guiding versus coaching. You know, so there's a fine line on what we can put out there as well, but we are working on language.
And I do almost always refer applicants to the recorded meetings so that they can get an idea of the level of detail and the information that the committee is looking for.
Great, thank you. For me, what would potentially be helpful is when we meet in November, maybe having a little further discussion about what that initial touch point with the applicant and the licensee looks like from the staff standpoint. Oftentimes, I'm sure you guys aren't having that initial touch point until someone has submitted their application. So maybe just wondering if there are ways to accelerate or you know, get a little ahead of the curve on setting those, to Zane's point, expectations on really what we're talking about from a level of detail. Just to kind of help make the process more efficient and meaningful for everyone.
Okay, yeah, we'll plan to have that discussion in November.
Okay. Any other items that, the team would like to talk about or raise as part of the new business?
This is Julie. Do you mind? We just started preparing, but, you know, we're working on this internally, but since the timing of your meeting works so well, we're looking at 2020 meeting dates. Stacy will be sending out an email probably later today or maybe tomorrow with the proposed meeting dates that are just really a mimic of this year's meeting dates. We'd like you to take a look at your calendars. I know, you know, you don't know every date, but you can kind of guess as far as, you know, month and closing or, you know, things like that. One of the dates that did fall was April 15th, which will likely be a problem, but we will need to look at alternate dates. So you know, give your feedback on that date if it would be a problem. If, you know, if there's only one person that it is really a big conflict for, then, you know, we can move forward appropriately. But we do need to, Stu, are you still on the line?
Yeah.
Would you like to talk to them about the board's action in how they're considering QC applications now?
No, I don't. I'm not prepared for that.
Oh, okay. Do you mind if I give a little, because it'll tie
yeah,
in with
one?
Okay. So the board has delegated the authority to the executive director, much like they have with firm applicants. So now all applications that are approved or recommended for approval by the qualifications committee will not wait for the board meeting. They will be issued a license, you know, immediately after the QC meeting, and then will be ratified at the next board meeting, much like we do with all the firm applicants. So that will eliminate that sometimes, you know, month-ish delay for them. That does mean, which is a good thing for our applicants, right? And they'll be excited to hear that. But that does mean that the timing of the QC meetings just becomes that much more important. Whereas before we've been able to, you know, flex those meeting times a little bit more to, you know, because we all we needed to do was turn around the summary from the meeting for the board. Now it becomes very important that we have that timeline in between so that we have everything ready for the board meeting. So when the board sets their schedule at their December meeting, we will be looking at all of the committee's meetings, and, you know, much like the BOAC, we have to make sure that the timeline lines up to give enough turnaround time between the committee meeting and the board meeting. So I just want you guys to know why we start this process so early, why we keep working on it throughout the fall, and why it's so important that you meet in time. So it's not that we're not flexible, it's just everything kind of works together.
Got it. That makes sense. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Julie.
Mm-hmm.
Regarding the schedule for next year, one of the things that was on the docket for the 2019 calendar was to try and get more of our meetings to be on an in-person basis. Do you anticipate that we will continue to move in that direction for 2020, or what is the tenor of those discussions?
Well, that was the goal. I mean, last year we started that ball rolling to kind of transition, not just go cold turkey, all meetings in person. As you know, we had 3 meetings scheduled in person this year, and I think one so far was in person. I think one was changed to a teleconference due to availability of committee members. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure what November will hold for this year, but I mean, that still is the goal of the board, but I can't necessarily answer that at this time.
Yeah.
Do you have any input?
Absolutely. This is Tanya. Have we considered doing something like Zoom meetings? So you can see people, it's a little bit more interactive, but then you don't necessarily need to be in person for those, you know, for time commitments and things.
I don't know Zoom meetings, I'm going to be honest. I'm not a really techie person. So is that something?
It's basically a video conference. It's video conferences so that you have more connectivity, like if that's part of the mission or goal of the board, but then people don't have to spend the time driving to the board offices. And so sometimes it keeps it so that you have more committee members that are, you know, maybe not inside the Salem, Portland metro area.
Okay. I'll chat with Kimberly about that.
Thank you.
That's a good idea.
Okay. It's something that we do at the board of, or at the state society.
I think that would just, it would involve a little help from our IT department and, you know, getting us up to speed on software. I'm assuming that's software that's available to everyone,
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a free software.
Okay.
Great, thank you. Good suggestion. Thank you guys for being solutions-based and kind of working towards that. At the next meeting, I guess a couple of items that I just wanted to clarify. Will we be going over kind of an update from a recruitment standpoint and how we're looking as far as number of heads and members on the committee and any efforts there, as well as any annual reviews that might be coming out related to MOU programs and the participant metrics as they move through that part of the system, just so that everybody's kind of prepared
Yes, November you should have your annual updates from the MOU programs. Not just their participant tracks that they have historically submitted, but also this year if they have any changes to their programs. I don't anticipate, since they all just went through their MOU programs thoroughly for this this revision of the agreement, I don't anticipate a lot of changes, but if they have any, that will be when they bring them forward. And then we will also have the annual report as far as number of applicants that have gone through the QC program this year and all of that data that we normally bring forward.
Perfect. Okay. Well, thank you, everyone. So kind of in along those lines, our November meeting will be a really critical one. Congratulations to the team at the board for making it through renewal season. Mm-hmm. I'm sure part of that is still ongoing. I know that's a tremendous amount of effort on your standpoint. So thank you for everything that you do to help support us.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's nice.
Well, speaking for the board, I want to thank all of you for the work you do. There's no way the board could ever get through the amount of material that you people produce in their normal business meeting. So without you, they would fail. So they wish they give you their thanks for all your hard work.
Thank you, Stuart. We appreciate that.
We do too. Staff does too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I think that brings us to the end of our agenda for today's meeting. Any other comments or questions? Anything else on the committee's mind today?
Megan, this is Norm. Just a quick question. Speaking of MOUs, is there any discussion needed on the DLR MOU that Stacy sent out, or is that just for our information?
It's just for information.
It was just for information. You received the others quite some time ago, but Department of Revenue was just having some internal timing issues, getting everybody together for a final review. So it just came separately, but there's nothing for you to do with it unless there's something you choose to talk about.
Yeah, no, I was just curious. It looks great to me. Yep.
Great, thank you, Norm. All right. Well, with that, we'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting at 9:58 a.m. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day, and we'll see you in November.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.